Do you want to know what's really fun about being a woman?
This is starting to sound like a Shania Twain song.
Man, I feel like I'm in perimenopause. Ugh, the brain fog, the mood swings, the night sweats, the unpredictable cycles. Many women enter perimenopause and they don't even realize what's happening to their body, and it's directly impacting how they're making major life decisions.
You get divorce strategy on this podcast, but when it comes to strategy for what's happening inside your body, our friends at Natural Cycles are here to help. Their new app mode, NC Perimenopause, within the Natural Cycles app interprets those hormonal shifts with data and science.
So I'm currently using the app and the intel is fascinating. It doesn't just track symptoms. It helps me see patterns and it helps me connect the dots between my hormones, my symptoms, and my lifestyle. It even estimates what stage of perimenopause I'm in. I love that it helps me better understand what's going on with my body and why I have days where it's more difficult to make decisions than others. And that clarity really matters. You can even download a personalized report that you can bring to your doctor, which makes those appointments way more productive.
Natural Cycles is a female-founded digital health company that analyzes biomarker data to help users better understand their cycles. NC Perimenopause is for anyone experiencing or anyone who thinks they may be experiencing perimenopause, from the first hormone-related changes to your cycle or symptoms all the way until menopause, when your periods stop. Learn more and give it a shot right alongside Andrea.
Yes, let's do this thing together. You are not alone in your divorce or this transition. There are tools to help you make sense of what your body is doing. Visit naturalcycles.com and use code DIVORCE. Or tap the link in the show notes to learn more about how you can save on a subscription.
The How Not to Suck at Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended as and shall not be construed or understood to be legal advice.
You might have heard of the co-parenting app, Our Family Wizard, but are you aware of what makes this popular app a go-to solution for over 1 million parents and family law practitioners, including myself?
It's the way that Our Family Wizard helps co-parents organize their calendars, expenses, and messages. No more back and forth texting with your ex over who's paying for your kid to give Kaylee, Kyle, Kaden, or whoever a birthday party gift.
That's right, because Our Family Wizard can organize monthly expenses, everything from medical bills to birthday party gifts, and help you send effective and productive messages without the snark. In fact, Our Family Wizard even has a tone meter, a built-in snark detector that will help you tone down your messages.
And although snark can be really fun, it's really expensive and damaging to your mental health and your kids. So save the snark for happy hour with your friends and save the money for the birthday party presents and check out Our Family Wizard.
Our Family Wizard, making co-parenting easier.
The question today is, have you heard of discernment counseling? If you have, wonderful. If you haven't, this episode is really going to break down for you what discernment counseling is and how it can help you in your divorce process, if you're even right to go through the divorce process. So today is a really special re-air episode, and we are currently smack dab in the middle of the Jewish holidays. So for those of you who are celebrating Yom Kippur coming up on this upcoming Monday, wishing you all an easy and meaningful fast. For those of you who don't celebrate Yom Kippur, lucky you, eat all day and think of me. So on this episode, we interview Dr. Bill Dougherty. He is the founder of Discernment Counseling, which is a very unique process that helps couples figure out whether or not they should get a divorce. So if you're in this place of, should I stay? Should I go? I don't know. What the hell do I do? What do we do? This episode is for you. Take a listen.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another day of How Not to Suck at Divorce.
What you help them do is try to understand the pain that their spouse is in instead of just urging them to stay and work on it.
It's a more valuable session because everyone feels heard.
And this is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
This episode, we are thrilled to welcome Dr. Bill Doherty, who is an innovative therapist and doctor who is really bringing some new things to the market. And you have to hear about this. But before we do, we need to know what Andrea is obsessed with this week, because this has become our listeners' new obsession.
I absolutely love it. I'm totally obsessed.
Like, totally obsessed.
Let's do it.
Ha, 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 ha. Obsession. Okay. It's the moment you've all been waiting for. Hey guys, it's me, your girl, Andrea. Okay. If anyone knows me in real life, in IRL, as the kids say, you know that I carry around this giant ass water bottle every day, every single day. Morgan, you've seen it. I'm obsessed with my water bottle.
It's the size of your head.
It's okay. Well, it's larger than the size of my head because it holds a half gallon of water. I take it with me everywhere I go, and that's it. It's not glamorous. It's just my water. I love my giant water. I like to drink lemon water, sometimes lime water. I ordered it from Amazon. I don't think it was that expensive. I don't know, because I know the last few times we've done this segment, we've talked about some fancy things. This is not fancy. Maybe it's $30. I'm not sure. It has those like little, not time stamps, but like those marks on it where it kind of measures how much you've had at what point in the day. And it's got these stupid motivational things like keep going. That part's annoying. I ignore that. I just like a lot of water and I love it.
I love it too. The only question I have is, I imagine myself kind of running around the city with it or in and out of my office, and it kind of feels like a dumbbell to me. Like I could literally.
Why is that a bad thing?
Because I already have a bag and a purse and my computer and everything else. And now I'm going to add a dumbbell to the list.
Okay. So you're right. Yeah. So you're right in the sense that if you're schlepping all around town, then it's a lot to carry. But like for me, because I'm living that suburban life, you're in the car, you're out of the car, you know, you kind of just like tug it along with you. I will say though, in the summertime, because we're now just out of summer, but when it's really hot in the car and you leave it in the car, then you come back to hot water, which, you know.
I'm sure like you've been in hot water before, but regardless. Catching.
This is the perfect time for us to segue into, if you feel like your marriage might be in hot water, have we got the guy for you? So, Morgan, what we're talking about today is something that you, as a family law attorney, you're familiar with, but I actually had no idea that this even existed.
Wait, you've never heard of discernment counseling?
I had not. Not a drop of it. And I'm a freaking genius. So if I haven't heard of it, stop laughing. If I haven't heard of it, then I'm guessing that there are other people who haven't heard of it. So today on our show, we welcome Dr. Bill Doherty, the creator of discernment counseling. And we're going to tell you all about it and how it can be a key step in deciding whether a divorce is what you need.
Everybody, I am thrilled to have Dr. Bill Doherty on because he is the guy who created this. And it is so great to have this in addition to marriage counseling, because in my experience, marriage counseling doesn't always get the job done, doesn't always lead you in the correct direction. So Dr. Bill Doherty is a Minneapolis-based therapist and a professor at University of Minnesota, and he created discernment counseling after years of working with couples and finding that traditional couples therapy doesn't work with couples who have what he refers to as a mixed agenda. Here's the cool thing about Dr. Doherty too. 1,000 therapists are currently practicing his procedure. Dr. Doherty also, this is maybe my best excitement, Dr. Doherty's been on Oprah twice, so we know we've got the real deal here. So Dr. Doherty, thank you so much, so, so much for your time today. We're honored to have you on How Not to Suck at Divorce.
Well, thank you. It's great to be with you, but with two enthusiastic geniuses, okay? I mean, what better could it be for me?
Oprah's got nothing on us.
That's right.
I mean, right. Literally. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to start with this question. Morgan mentioned a mixed agenda couple. What is a mixed agenda couple?
Yeah, mixed agenda couple is a couple where one person is leaning out of the relationship. They're seriously considering divorce. They're not completely decided. And they're reluctant to do marriage counseling or couples therapy. They're kind of getting to the end of their rope. Maybe they tried therapy before. So they're leaning out and they're ambivalent about getting help. And the other person is leaning in and they want to get help. They want to do marriage counseling. They want to save the marriage. Okay. So you have a couple coming in the door, not with the similar agenda, but with different agendas. Okay. And then how do you work with them? Because they, one of them is trying to figure out whether to stay or leave. And they're not so sure they want to stay and work. And the other's like, I'm gung ho.
So I will tell
this
you.
This is a mixed agenda couple. Yeah.
Okay. So thank you for that, because I will tell you, a lot of the couples that come to me or the person who contacts me first, sometimes they haven't tried any type of therapy. Okay. And all they know about is marital therapy or marriage therapy,
right.
Couples therapy. That's what they talk about. So a lot of times when I mention, well, hold on, you may be a candidate for discernment counseling. They're like, whoa, what is that? I've never heard about that. So tell our listeners, how does discernment counseling differ from regular couples therapy or marriage, you know, counseling?
Yeah. So couples therapy is set up for couples where both people want to stay around for a while. Nobody is, you know, ready to leave. And they both want to try to repair or improve the marriage. Okay. They're both in for the effort. Okay. And neither of them is kind of almost ready to leave. And then what couples therapy does then is you help people improve the relationship, get closer, solve problems. It's problem solving. It's a way to help people repair and fix and do better. Discernment counseling, the goals of discernment counseling are to help people have clarity and confidence about a direction for the relationship, whether that's to divorce or to try to reconcile. Clarity and confidence about a direction based on a deeper understanding of what's happened to the marriage and each person's contributions to the problems. So clarity and confidence based on more understanding. It's explicitly not designed to solve any problems. So the discernment counselor does not give you communication tips. The discernment counselor does not suggest you go on dates, does not review what, you know, the traumas you had in your relationship and then help you repair from those. It's a question of, in discernment counseling, do we want to try to fix it or do we want to let it go?
So, Dr. Doherty, this is one thing that I see legally all the time, and it drives me crazy. So I see these couples or a person coming to me for representation because they don't know what else to do. They've been stuck in marriage counseling for forever. They can't get any clarity in the marriage counseling. They don't feel like the other side is listening or that the therapist is listening, and they never get any direction from the therapist. So what you're talking about is completely the opposite, right? You're not, I feel like you're spinning your wheels at times in marital counseling.
Yes, exactly. If somebody is not so sure they want to stay, then their energy is not there for marriage counseling, for couples therapy. It's like you're not sure you want to stay in the job and your boss is saying, hey, here's more things you can do to improve. I'm not sure I want to be here. Okay. And the other person wants to be there. The therapist wants you to be there and help you. So the person who is the leaning out ends up the bad guy in couples therapy. They're the bad guy because their spouse wants to fix it. The therapist is trained to help you fix it. And they're saying, I don't know.
Something that I thought was interesting when we spoke on the phone was you said that in discernment, the couple isn't, they're not turning towards each other and having a conversation and sharing their grievances with each other. They're in the session together, but they're mainly or exclusively speaking to the one facilitating the session. Is that correct?
Yes. The structure is very different from marital therapy. most of the conversations actually go on one-to-one between the spouse and the discernment counselor with the other person out of the room. And then you shift. Okay.
Ah.
So that's the key difference is that people have different agendas. This was sort of the breakthrough idea. One person needs help to figure out whether to stay and work on the relationship and try couples therapy. That's what they need to figure out.
Okay.
The other person wants to stay, wants to do a couples therapy. And what you help them do is try to understand the pain that their spouse is in and their own contributions to it, instead of just urging them to stay and work on it. Okay. So you try to help the leaning in one bring their best self to the crisis, in the hopes that their spouse will decide to work with them to reconcile. The other person is trying to decide whether to try to reconcile or not. They have different agendas, so they can't be in the room at the same time because they have different needs.
Something that I, on that same note, we also spoke about the questions that the facilitator asks them. So there's some structure to this session. So let's kind of talk through that for the listeners to help everybody, to help illustrate what this whole, what this actually looks like.
Yeah. So the first session, and by the way, there's a maximum of 5 sessions. So it's time limited. Okay. And then we decide each time whether to do a subsequent. And so you're only signing up for 1 session at a time.
Okay.
So the first session is 2 hours, and the first 40 minutes are actually both together at the same time. And then we ask a series of structured questions. The first one is, well, after we ask people why they came, obviously, but the first structured question is, what's happened to your marriage that's gotten you to the point where divorce is a possibility? So each person gets to talk about the story. I mean, how did they get here? Okay. The second question is the repair question, and that is, what have you tried to do to fix the problems so you didn't get to the point where divorce is on the table? And that's where we learn about their efforts in therapy before or whatever they tried. The next question is the children's question, if they have kids, and that is, what role, if any, do your children play in your decision-making about the future of your marriage? What role, if any, do your children play? We want to get that out, where they are with that. And then the fourth question, the last one, is what we call the best of times question. What was the best of times in your relationship since the time you met? The time you had the most connection and joy, because we, you know, people don't come with arranged marriages. They fell in love at one point, right? And so we want to find out what was the best of times in the relationship. So those are 4 questions we ask with them both in the room. And then after that, we talk to each person separately.
Okay, so I have so many questions, and I know this isn't following exactly how we thought this episode would play out, but I'm just going to ask you a few things. So is the point of discernment counseling to actually come to a decision between 1 and 5 sessions of whether the best decision for this couple is to stay married or get a divorce?
Again, the goals are clarity and confidence about a direction. And we focus on 3 paths. Path 1 is to stay together, neither get help nor divorce. Path 2 is the separation divorce path. And path 3 is a decision to stay married for now and do 6 months of couples therapy with divorce off the table and with a clear agenda of what you're going to work on. So the focus in the 5 sessions, if you go all 5, is which of those paths do you want to take now?
Okay, so if I'm a listener and I'm saying, I don't know whether my spouse has a foot in, foot out. I don't know whether I do. I have no idea. I'm scared to death. I don't know whether to go marriage counseling route or discernment counseling route. What do you tell that person?
If somebody is, if they know themselves that they're leaning out and not so sure that marriage counseling is right, they're so discouraged. Well, they have to self-assess that. Then they ought to propose discernment counseling to their partner. If they themselves want to work on the relationship, so they're leaning in, then what I suggest they do is talk to their spouse about getting help. And what I recommend is send the website, it's the discernmentcounselors.com, and the website gives a description of discernment counseling so that people can be informed consumers. In other words, do you want to do couples therapy because you're both ready to try to repair? Or are you the mixed agenda? And then here's what discernment counseling is. So the website, it's really hard for people to explain all of this to their spouse. And so we suggest let the website explain it. What kind of help do you want?
You know, one other thing that I like, and my clients have reported that they like about discernment counseling as opposed to marriage therapy or couples therapy. Couples therapy really is kind of on the clock. So usually what they report is like, it's 45 minutes to an hour. You sometimes don't get out what you really want to say. You sometimes don't feel like the therapist has even heard you because you're dealing with some really tricky issues. You've got both of you at times in there. Discernment counseling gives you the time you need to get out what you need, so that I feel what I hear reported from my clients is it's a more valuable session because everyone feels heard during your sessions because they're longer.
They're longer, 2 hours, and then the other subsequent ones are an hour and a half, and you each get individual time. And so if you have a spouse who's a talker, they can't dominate the time. Everybody gets focused time for what they need.
I talk to a lot of people who are in that stage of their marriage where they don't know what to do. I have a lot of people who reach out to me on my social media platform who say, okay, how do you know? Like, how do you know when it's time to go? I don't know what to do. I'm terrified. I feel paralyzed.
Yeah,
there were good times, but there's a lot of bad and I don't know what's going on. And I think, and again, I didn't even know that this was a thing, but I think what a helpful tool, because of the fact that it's so structured, I think that this will help so many people. Not only are the sessions themselves structured, but then the three paths that you choose from, because what that does is that forces you to do something, right? Because we all know that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing you were doing and hoping you're going to get a different result. So my mind is currently being blown because I just feel like what a massive asset to people.
Well, Dr. Doherty told me this came, you know, he really put this together 12 years ago, and now he's got 1,000 therapists across the country, probably across the world using it. And I will tell you, I started using this probably about 5 years ago. And the trickiest part is that the counselors I found who are doing it are so wonderful at what they are doing. The problem is we don't have enough of them.
Yeah.
So the wait times are big. So the issue that I, you know, one thing I want to recap for the listeners, Dr. Doherty, because I don't know that I heard it enough, is those three paths. And tell us on each path what the future looks like, you know, whether you're following up or is it just like, this is your path, goodbye? What does that look like?
Yeah, so when people come in, the leaning out is usually at the moment ruling out path one. Path one is to just go on as you've been. You know, don't get help and don't divorce. They're considering path two, which is the divorce. And then what we introduce is this idea of a time to work on the relationship, a time bound. So path three is 6 months. It could go longer. Put divorce off the table and all in for the effort to repair the problems. If they choose that path, then at the end of discernment counseling, we help them with a clear agenda of what each person is going to work on in themselves that would be healthy for them to improve in themselves, that could help the marriage. But even if they divorce, this would be good for you to work on. Because as one of our lines is, you can't divorce yourself. We carry ourselves with us into the next relationship. And so a big goal of discernment counseling is for people to understand their own contributions to the problems and then figure out, I want to work on those. The question then is, do I want to work on it in this relationship, which now we call path three, with a time limit? Okay. So you all in for 6 months. And at that point, you can evaluate whether you've gotten to a point where the marriage is worth staying in. A lot of times when people are in this situation of trying to discern what to do, they think of two things, either stay unhappy forever or get out. I mean, what kind of choice is that? What kind of choice is that? Okay. So path three opens up this way to think about an all-out effort and then make another decision.
So I love the all out effort. So there's something that we do, at least in our court system, for some people who want to try to make it work. And it's called putting a case that's been filed on the reconciliation calendar, and it sits there for 6 months. And I love when couples try that, because if there's any hope, you're going to know in that 6 months whether it's going to work or not, because you have, for lack of a better term, something to your head, right? You've got somebody stepping on you for 6 months. You are under the gun for 6 months to do your best to try to make that relationship work. And it sounds just similar to what you're saying, because if you can't make it work when you're at your best, trying your hardest,
right. That's right.
It's not going to work.
Right, right. And a key is, what do you want to change in yourself during this time? Not just, what do I want to wait to see if my spouse will change? So a lot of times when people are just paralyzed about the decision, they don't have a good handle on their own contributions. They say, do I accept my spouse as they are, even though I'm not happy? But they don't understand how maybe they've been making their spouse unhappy, okay? You know, it's a two-way street. And so a lot of the focus of the individual time is on helping people understand the patterns they've gotten into and each of their contributions to the problems. We don't let the leaning out person just come in and complain about their spouse. Okay. Nor do we have the leaning in one just focus on, well, I believe in marriage and our kids, you know, need a stable family. And what's wrong with you? For trying to end the marriage. Those are two ways that when people approach the divorce decision, it's not very constructive. The first is, hey, it's your fault. And the other is, hey, you don't have a moral code.
So, you know, one thing you say is that the only failure in discernment counseling is if nobody learns anything.
That's right.
And the, you know, bringing it back to our podcast, one thing I've heard Andrea say over and over again is, she works on herself for her future relationship, her relationship right now. And it's so true, because everyone contributes to the relationship. So you have to learn about yourself in order to be successful in the future. Exactly. And I've kind of learned that from Andrea as well.
I have a logistics question. The facilitators, the discernment counselors, are they also practicing therapists who couples therapy? So is it possible for a couple to see someone for discernment and then continue on with them if they choose path three? Can they see that same person?
That's how it mostly works.
Oh, okay.
So in other words, this actually is tough work. I call this like emergency room work. So you have to be a physician to do the emergency room work. That's you have to move quickly. You have to understand the dynamics. You have to be able to gently help people get past their blind spots. So you have to be a therapist to do this. Okay. Most of the time, if they're choosing what we call path three, the therapist goes on and sees them for couples therapy. However, at that point, you do a shift. So in discernment counseling, we teach the counselors to say, this is the first session, this is the second, this is the third, review the goals. If it's path three, the couples therapy, then you say, this is our first session with couples therapy. And usually they're both in the room the whole time. You use whatever method of couples therapy you have. But the difference is, now at the end of discernment counseling, they have written out their agenda for personal change. So we know what everybody's going to work on here.
I think this whole thing is so interesting. And it reminds me of something you said earlier in the episode, which is one of the differences between couples therapy and discernment is couples therapy, you're there to do the work on the marriage.
Yeah.
Discernment helps you decide whether or not you want to do the work.
That's right.
I think, like, I'm just... what a helpful tool. I mean, Morgan, I'm just thinking about so many listeners and so many people who have written to us, you know, asking for guidance. And I'm like, this is the episode you guys need to be listening to.
I will tell you, you have to be in the right headspace to do discernment counseling. Not everyone can handle it with where they are at that point. And A lot of my clients that I see that really want to do discernment counseling are people that are used to making really big decisions in their everyday life because they're a high-end CEO or, you know, they're running a company. They want to get to the answer. Not everyone feels that way. So it may take a little, if for our listeners, you may not be there. You may never be there. But I do think that a lot of times what I see is in therapy and couples therapy, people spin their wheels.
Yes.
And it's like this cycle that you never get out of until someone finally says, I'm not going back there anymore. And then it ends and it feels awful. But my question for you, Dr. Doherty, is, so let's say that, you know, what I hear a lot is couples therapy broke down because my spouse is crazy. And the therapist either wouldn't say they're crazy, or the therapist kind of off the cuff said to me, you know, he or she is never going to change. So how do you kind of attack that in discernment counseling?
Well, when we ask this repair question, we ask about their prior therapy. And so this is then a chance, let's say if you're the leading out spouse, then you tell me one-to-one that you feel your spouse has certain kinds of personality disorder. It was never addressed in therapy. Well, I'm getting to know your spouse at the same time. Okay, if I believe they have a dysfunction, then I'm going to bring it up with them. Without you in the room saying, I've told you that, like, you know, I'm going to bring it up. Okay, I'm going to see if they want to do something about it. On the other hand, sometimes the leaning out one has convinced themselves that the problem is the person they're married to, and none of it's them. Okay. And they've come up with labels, like this big one now, my husband maybe is on the autism spectrum, okay? Well, I'm sitting there with the guy, I'm talking to one-on-one, he's not fluent with feelings, but he's telling me what's going on, he's really upset that his wife made, he's a regular guy, okay? He's not like her girlfriends, but she has told herself, and maybe some therapist has suggested, that he has a, you know, he's on the autism spectrum. And then I can tell her, nah.
That makes me laugh because I just had a client tell me that his wife believes, I think it's, he's on the autism spectrum, but she didn't tell him that just outright. She told him that he's neuroatypical.
it's been the year of narcissistic, yes. Autistic people, like everyone's got to be in a box, you know,
yes, instead of absolutely. Just
like, we're complicated individuals.
Absolutely. I have a new study that just coming out next month about what happens in individual therapy when the therapist has never met your spouse.
I was just thinking about that.
They come up with a diagnosis. So yeah. Here are the favorite ones. Okay. These are the trifecta now.
Oh no, here we go.
Okay. If you're a woman in therapy, your husband has narcissistic personality disorder. Okay. Yeah. If you're a man in therapy, your wife has borderline personality disorder. Oh, she's emotionally dysregulated.
Okay? Yes.
And then you have the autism spectrum. And this drives me crazy. Because the therapists are saying this, never having met the person. So
agreed.
In counseling, so if you go to individual counseling, which most people do, they don't want to do marriage therapy, you know. So they go to an individual counselor and they complain about their marriage. And unfortunately, a lot of counselors are not able to imagine how the person in front of me also makes things difficult in the marriage. And we take the side of that person and we come up with these diagnoses. It's really bad. So I've also, one of my other trainings, by the way, is I call CSI therapy, couple sensitive individual therapy.
Ooh, okay. So question there, I'm going to get to how people can find out more about your fabulous discernment counseling and counselors in the area. But Dr. Doherty, you just brought up a really interesting thing about personal therapy and your, you know, findings. Would you be interested at some point in the future coming back on to discuss
sure. what you found? Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I can send it the study. I think it's a kind of a public health problem because people go to therapy. The relationship problems are the main reason people go to therapy. You also may have depression or anxiety, but a lot of what you talk about is your relationships with your parents, your siblings, your spouse, your kids, you know, relationships. Sure. And therapists, this is kind of shocking. Therapists who see individuals have no training and how to help them with relationships. It doesn't exist. They
now
have training
my mind in, is blown.
Yeah, they have training in helping you with your depression, your anxiety, your phobias, and so on. But in the training of therapists, see individuals, there is nothing systematic about how do you help them with their relationship. So therapists make it up on their own.
So interesting. Okay. Yeah, we can't wait to hear more about that. So Dr. Doherty, if somebody wants to look into discernment counseling in general, but also find counselors in their area, where do you suggest they go?
Discernmentcounselors.com. And we have a directory. Nowadays, more people are doing it virtually too. So there might be some possibilities, even if there's nobody in your community. There might be somebody willing to see you on Zoom.
That would be really helpful. Before we let you go, I have to ask you a very pressing question that's been on my mind the entire time. When I was reading your bio on your website, the bottom of your bio talks about your wife, your grandchildren, and it also said that you enjoy a glass of wine every evening. So inquiring minds, or I should say inquiring mind, wants to know, what are we drinking? What's our favorite kind of wine? I'm a wine girl. I love having a glass of wine. So what's
we've gotten to the big issue here, haven't we? That's right.
It's a big relationship issue, Bill.
I have to tell you, Andrea, box wine.
No.
Yes, I know.
Stop it.
Yeah. You said at the beginning you were a genius. Obviously, I'm not. Okay. However, I do know something about relationships. And my wife and I have a ritual at the end of every day. We sit down with a glass of wine, 9:30, 9:45, and we review our day like two friends.
That made me have lots of feelings.
That's really sweet.
You know, it's funny you said that because Morgan and I were speaking on a different episode about how we both love to take walks with our partners.
Yeah.
My boyfriend and I try to take a walk every day together and have a nice long conversation. Morgan walks with her husband.
Yeah.
Tonight, I'm going to walk with a glass of wine. I'm gonna bring it all together.
That's genius, Andrea.
Stay tuned. That's our next thing
that we're going to come up with. We're going to come up with a fanny
walking pack. And whining.
Yes, that holds wine while you walk.
Walking and W-I-N, not W-H-I-N.
Exactly. Well, I mean, yeah, no wine. There's no whining in discernment.
No whining. Counseling. That's right.
There's no crying in baseball. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
This was a pleasure to do. I'm glad that you're enthusiastic about this. You pulled good explanations out of me, and it's a resource for people that a lot of people could use, I think.
Well, we can't wait to have you back, and we have just thoroughly enjoyed our interview with you today. And thank you for coming up with this genius idea of discernment counseling, because people need it.
Thank you.
Morgan, I know. Like, are you still like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, my head's not spinning, but I'm like so filled with knowledge right now.
I'm like pumped up about this. I feel like this is something that couples have needed for so long. And I've seen it in action. I've seen it really work in action in the last probably 5 years. And I just don't think there's enough knowledge out there. So I'm thrilled that we're bringing the knowledge, but I also learned a lot myself because I send clients there.
Yeah.
They come out of it. I didn't know half the things that Dr. Doherty told us about.
No, I didn't either. And you know, it's now time for the most crucial segment of our entire show, Morgan's favorite segment, the segment that I roll my eyes at, but it's time for Let's Be Positive. And now, a moment of positivity.
Because we're all about positive thoughts.
And negative COVID tests.
That is right.
Okay, so you all know, if you've been devout listeners of the How Not to Suck at Divorce podcast, season 3, that Morgan loves reading these feel-good stories from the internet. Those are fine. They're special. We've got grandmothers graduating from college, conjoined twins who are now 2, not 1. But my positive moment is the fact that Bill Doherty said that we were better than Oprah.
Agreed. 100%.
I'm done. Good night.
Bye.
Bye. I mean, what? I'm sorry. What? Can you say that again, Bill?
When he said that, I almost fell over. I was like completely blindsided. First of all, I didn't even know he was on Oprah. And then he got, yeah, he got street credibility with me right then and there. And then not to mention that he just invented discernment counseling overall.
Seriously.
So no big deal. But then when he ended it and told us that,
homeboy from Harpo.
We've made it.
Homeboy from Harpo said that we were better than Oprah. And I don't know if he was just being nice. Frankly, I don't care. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn, because I will take that compliment with me to my grave. There is no discerning there. I'm done. That is the most positive thing that will ever happen to me in my entire life. Better than your internet stories.
Let's wrap the season right here then.
I know, we're done. We're done, you all. Good luck with your divorces. We're better than Oprah. We're retiring.
Exactly. Oh my gosh, I know.
Seriously though, thank you so much. I know we say this all the time, but we would not be here if it weren't for you guys. The messages that you send us, the emails, reaching out to us, letting us know that what we're doing matters and that it's helping you, keeps us going. Well, okay, I'm not gonna lie. Right now, the Oprah compliment is keeping me going, but on a regular basis, it's knowing that we're helping, in all honesty. That's why we do this. So thank you for listening, and thank you for writing to us and letting us know you care.
We know that the divorce process is really hard. We know it's draining, and we know that at times the unknown can feel really, really scary. But our goal is to offer you some guidance and a little bit of humor to get you through it and ultimately help you not suck at divorce. So listen, if you want to know more about us and maybe see some more glamorous videos, maybe some more laughs, log into two places to find us and find more information: www.hownottosuckatdivorce.com and also our brand new Instagram handle at @hownottosuckatdivorce. We can't wait to hear from you and see you more and get into our DMs more, because we answer them. And yep, if you want some hard-hitting questions, because we are better at questioning than Oprah, we're here for that too.
Obviously. Wow. Guys, we're here for you. We know that this is a process. We know that not every day is easy. We know that there are days where you want to be done. And we know that there are days where you're feeling really good. We're here for you on those bad days and those good days. We are your divorced sisters. Divorce, essentially divorced. We're not both divorced. We are your divorce sisters. We are with you in this. We're here to cheer you on, and we are your shoulder to cry on, because we know that it can be day by day or hour by hour.
You've got this. Remember this. You have got this, and we have got you.
And we are here to help you not suck at divorce. For more support, please join our private communities on Facebook and Patreon. The How Not to Suck at Divorce podcast is executively produced by Andrea Rappaport.